This is Stacking the Box with NFL insider Matt Verderam and Mark Carman. One of the best tight ends in football, San Francisco 49er. Did you call Kyle Shanahan this morning and let him know that you're alive, George?
No, I gotta wait till Sunday for that one. I gotta keep him on his toes.
Okay. I figured you might. At this point, you might as well check in every day because everybody's has something going on in their life, right?
I'll text him after this. I will. Just let him know, hey, I'm still here.
I don't want to get too much in your business, but I figured we could just hit that at the start here. The University of Iowa Hawkeye as well. Want to get that in there. I'm a 1996 grad working with Kingsford today. Joining us on Stacking the Box, Matt Verderam, and I thrilled to talk to you, George. Let's hit that at the start here. 100% the beautiful pellets. Mm. I mean, you're big in the ring. You're big in the barbecue. How do you bring this into your life, George?
Well, I've been grilling my entire life. My family has always used Kingsford's charcoal. And then a couple years ago, I made the switch to pellets, with those wood pellets. And Kingsford came to me and they're like, hey, we're doing the best wood pellets out there on the market. Would love for you to be a part of this. And they said, you're 100% you. You're 100% authentic. Our pellets are 100% hickory wood pellets. And so we think that'd be a good match. And we're also going to let you hit a bunch of stuff with some steel chairs, kick some things, and your buddy TJ Hawkinson from the Detroit Lions gets to work with you. And so it was all, I was like, well, that sounds pretty easy for me. And I try to only work with companies and products that I use in my everyday life. And that was pretty obvious because I grill 3-4 times a week. And the fact that I got to use, 100% hickory wood pellets for my grill, it was a no-brainer for me. And so I'm just excited about it because I got to beat up on some 50% hickory wood pellets. Like I said, hit them with some steel chairs and have a blast. But I just really had to be a part of this company.
So, George, talking about having a blast, I think it's safe to say that the NFC West is the best division in football. I don't know that there's a bad team in the group. I don't think there is a bad team in the group. You look around at what's happened this offseason. The Rams had Matthew Stafford. You guys bring back just about everybody, hopefully a lot healthier this year. The Cardinals, they bring in J.J. Watt. They bring in some other veteran players, Rodney Hudson as well, Seattle, Gabe Jackson. When you get ready for this season, you're looking at that division. To use the analogy about, hitting with steel chairs and whatnot, it feels like a steel cage match is that division. I mean, how do you get amped up for that division knowing that, hey, we might win 9-10 games or another team might win 9-10 games and finish in last. Like, we have to bring our A game every weekend. How do you feel about the division as you enter into August and whatnot, get ready for the season?
I've been saying that the NFC West is the best division for like the last 2 years. I think the Cardinals have been up and coming. And I mean, at this point they're here, obviously. And then, Seattle and the Rams, like you said, brought in Stafford. And as long as they have Aaron Donald, they're going to be one of the best teams. And as long as we have Nick Bosa, we're going to be pretty dominant as well. And when you have those four teams that just have to kind of headbutt each other, six times a year, it's going to be a little messy. We might not all have the best records, but it is, you kind of have to fight for your life week in and week out because, other teams that might be in easier divisions, they might win 12, 13 games and be sitting in that one seed, and we're all going to be trying to fight. Yeah, we're going to try our best to get to that one seed, but it's going to be a fight between those four teams just to try to get into the playoffs. And if you don't have that mindset, if you're not hyped for those games, if you're not ready to roll, next thing you know, you're going to be in last place in the division, not making the playoffs, and that's the last thing that we want.
So, George, you're hanging out, you're grilling, you're doing the George Kittle regular day, and you hear that the 49ers are making a big move to go up to number 3 in the draft. Like, what was your reaction at that point? Were you like, whoa, this is super aggressive? Did you expect it? What were you thinking?
One thing I love about Kyle and John is how unexpected they are and how little they can tell everybody, and it's just everyone's just trying to think, hey, what are you guys doing? But they're not going to say anything. My reaction was exactly that. It was, whoa, hey, that's exciting. Like, I wonder what we're going to do. Like, who are we going to draft? The one thing I like about the NFL draft is when you get like a top 5, top 10 pick, you're bringing in a guy that has the ability to like influence the entire program, the entire franchise from top to bottom, from off the field to on the field. And so when you have that ability to draft a guy like that, I just get excited for it. So I'm pumped, whether we draft a quarterback, whether we draft a tight end, fullback, wide receiver, like whoever we draft, I'm excited about it because I can't wait to meet him and play with him.
And just to follow up on Matt's question, as far as the division, do you still look at it like your window for the Niners to win a Super Bowl, to be at the top, is still there, even if you have a quarterback change?
Our window is, as long as we have Nick Bosa, it's our defensive end, we'll have a chance to win a Super Bowl. That's how confident I am in him.
So, you know, I'm really interested in your draft experience because you were drafted in the fifth round. I mean, you were, unlike your buddy TJ Hockenson, you were not a top 10 pick. You were not coming out of college, thought to be this guy who was going to come in and at some point be the highest paid tight end in NFL history. Like, I don't think anybody felt that was coming, maybe except for yourself. And obviously you've earned every dollar of that. But I'm curious, like, your draft experience, what did you expect going in? And what did it end up being for you? You know, how did it play out? Was there anything? Did you get a call? I know, like Travis Kelce, when he got drafted, he saw the number pop up and he thought it was St. Louis. And he's told the story many times. He was dejected. He thought it was the Rams, and it turned out it was the Chiefs. Like, was there anything funky or quirky that happened for you during the draft? And what was it like for you as you waited for your number to get called?
What I remember from the draft is sitting there for 3 days looking at a TV and watching people get drafted ahead of me. And I was just thankful for the, you know, opportunity to be able to get drafted. But, you know, sitting in the fifth round, you're sitting there for like 3 full days of just watching other people get drafted. And it takes a while. So that's kind of disheartening. But then, you know, after you get drafted, it's awesome. And you drink a lot of tequila and you have a good time to celebrate that night. But really, I think really the only thing that was quirky that happened to me was my agent called me and because before the draft, he's like, you're going to be anywhere. My guess is if a team snags in the second, you'd be super lucky. My guess is late third, all the way to the sixth round. And I was like, all right, that's fine with me. Like, no worries. So, you know, like that third round is on that, I think it was that Friday night. So I watched all of that, no chance. And I was like, all right, cool. I'm just going to go to bed, not knowing if I'm going to get drafted. And the next day, I remember it was probably like a minute before the Niners called me. My agent says, hey, the Seahawks here called me. They said they're trading up to get you. And then literally I'm on the phone with him, my agent, and he was on my dad's phone. And then I got a call from the Bay Area and I was like, hey, I'm getting a call from the Bay. He's like, hang up on me and answer that. And I was like, all right, sick. And next thing I know, I'm talking to, you know, John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan saying that they're drafting me and they're excited to work with me. And I was like, I'm excited to be there. Let's roll.
So I think I can ask this, George, because I'm a University of Iowa graduate, 1996, baby, not to age myself. That was a little embarrassing. But I didn't think you were used right or used enough, which is part of the reason why – I mean, do you agree?
I mean, it is what it is. You know, Iowa's a run block. Hey, we're gonna block first. We might pass it a couple times. But we're gonna assert our dominance over you in the run game. And, you know, I appreciate that. And I will say, I think the fact they only had 48 catches – I think it's partially my fault, partially Iowa's fault. I didn't really know the playbook for my first 2.5 years at Iowa, so that's probably why I didn't play a lot. I had to figure that one out on the roll. But, you know, I got hurt a little bit my senior year, so yeah, I get it. But I think all that run blocking, it definitely made me appreciate it, and I still appreciate it now, and I think that's why my game is diverse, man. I'm allowed to be in the run game. I'm in the pass game. I kind of do everything. I think just my appreciation from the run game, which is what I learned and earned at Iowa, definitely made me a better football player.
Now, you guys last year, unfortunately, just had a ton of injuries right out of the gate. I mean, you've mentioned a few times about the greatness of Nick Bosa, and week two, he's out, and things just kind of spiraled from there. You got hurt, Jimmy G got hurt, so on and so forth. But you guys are pretty much bringing back the same roster. Now, obviously, here with pick number three, you might be bringing in another quarterback. We'll see how things play. But you know, who knows? Garoppolo might start again this year anyway. You know, you're a team that I think some people maybe are sleeping on a little bit because of what happened last year. And it just kind of gets, oh yeah, the 49ers had that 1 year and then they went back to, you know, to being a team that's kind of out of the mix. You look at this team now, obviously you don't know who you're going to draft yet, but you brought back Trent Williams. You win that bidding war with Kansas City. You bring back just about all the guys that I would call impact free agents. You know, how do you view your roster here as you head into the draft and eventually some, you know, OTAs and minicamp and whatnot?
You know, I'm really excited about this year. And I mean, yeah, we lost a ton of guys to injury. And obviously, you know, when you do that, you lose all your playmakers and all the guys that you pay. It's hard to be competitive, you know, to an extent. And I think our guys that did play did a hell of a job. You know, like we were competitive in every single game, but we just weren't able to make those plays that, you know, to allow you to win those games. I'm excited about, you know, the draft, and I'm excited about the guys that we potentially can bring in. But when I go back and I look at our roster, like, I'm looking at every position and it's competitive at every single position. It really is. you know, wide receivers, I think we're really good. We got Deebo and Brandon Ayuk. We got Richie James. We got guys in there that can ball out. I think my tight end room is really good. We just drafted Charlie Warner last year. You know, we got Ross Dwelly, who, you know, held it down for me when I was out last year. I think our offensive line is getting really good. You said we brought back Trent Williams. I think McGlinchey's getting better. You know, he's learning. I mean, we got guys up and down that roster. So I'm just excited to see the competition play out when we do get to camp, when we are in OTAs, because it's going to be really fun. And, you know, yeah, you said people kind of forgot about the Niners, and it's a, what are you doing for me now league? You know, that's just kind of how it is. And, you know, people kind of, you know, they forget a little bit, but, you know, fans and media, people might forget, but I know NFL teams know that the Niners are still here. They set the lineup against us. And, you know, when you put me and Trent Williams on the same side and you're in some outside zone, teams are going to be scared. And I'm looking forward to that.
So somebody calls you up, George. Hey, tell me about Jimmy G, whether he's a Niner or not. I mean, he got there. He instantly made a huge impact. You guys went to the Super Bowl, and who knows what the future will be. But, hey, give me your true thoughts on Jimmy G. What would you say?
Well, man, I've only been talking about Jimmy G for the last 2 years in every media interview I've ever done. So I can talk about this all day. And, you know, Jimmy from, you know, his tangibles from just being a leader and his ability to throw the ball and his quick release. It's actually, I mean, we went to the Super Bowl with Jimmy. We won a lot of games with Jimmy. When he's not playing, we don't win a lot of games. So I think his record kind of speaks for itself, no matter, you know, what stats are and his, you know, whatever his percentages are. We win games when he's in the game. And so, and like I said, that speaks for itself. And I know Kyle and John, you know, whatever we draft here, you know, people are saying it's a quarterback. If they bring in a quarterback, I think Jimmy's going to compete with him. And that just is what it is. Football is a competitive sport, and you got to, you know, you got to win your job every single day. And I'm just looking forward to that competition. And, you know, Jimmy's, whether he's our quarterback, and, you know, I hope he is, because I think he's a hell of a quarterback. I think he's a hell of a football player. He's going to be the reason we win games. So I'm just looking forward to playing more football with him.
You know, you mentioned the Super Bowl, and I remember being at that game, covering that game, and you guys came about as close as you could without winning it. And afterwards, it, you know, the NFL put out a mic'd up segment where you were prominently featured. And I noticed when I watched it that one of the things that they didn't really focus on was that at the end of the first half, you were called for pass interference on a borderline call with Dan Sorensen. I'm curious. A, how often do you think about that play? And B, were you guilty of pass interference?
I mean, obviously guilty because they threw the flag. I mean, I'm not going to argue with refs. There's good calls. There's bad calls. It is what it is. And I'm not going to let something that, like, I can't control that. It's not going to bother me for the rest of my life. And I don't know. I haven't thought about it in a while since you guys just brought it up. But people like to talk about it, but it is what it is. And it's an unfortunate call. But like I said, refs make calls, and I just got to kind of live with that.
I hated that call. That was a terrible call. I'll say it. Even
if I hated it too. I know. I wish they released that part of the mic'd up, because I said some unflattering words.
That's why I brought it up, because I had a feeling you might have.
I say a lot of good things.
And yeah, really, I do want to just quickly on the back end. Look, that game, and I won't harp on it, because I know I'm sure it's not something you want to wake up and sit here and talk about.
It's
but,
all right.
No, but I mean, that, you know, I feel like after that game, there was a sense that, okay, you know, maybe with the Chiefs, whatever, they'll probably be back a bunch because of Mahomes and whatnot. But I also think, you know, with the 49ers, that was a team that, like I said, I mean, you guys pushed the Chiefs about as far as you could push, you know, and then obviously it doesn't work out at the end. But then you come back. We already talked about it. You have the injuries. It is what it is. But you guys that season were dominant. I mean, it wasn't like you had a Cinderella run. You go 13-3, you're the one seed. You rolled through the NFC playoffs. And really, look, it takes Mahomes drifting back like 48 yards and Wasp to make a play to turn the tide a little bit there. But when you think about where you guys are headed, I would imagine you have to think, look, if we're, as long as we're good, as long as we're healthy, there's no reason we can't get back to a level that we were at that year, which was a year where you went into the playoffs, handled Minnesota. Jimmy's got to throw the ball 8 times in one of these playoff games because Mostert's running for like 400 yards against Green Bay. Like, I have to think for you personally, it's like, look, as long as we're healthy, I don't care what anybody else did in the NFC. We're pretty set. And I don't know if you'll put it quite that way, but I would think that you'd have to feel pretty good, even though maybe that year doesn't end the way you want. And then, of course, last season kind of gets just lost in the shuffle.
Oh, no, you're not wrong. That's what – I'm very confident in our team when we are healthy. Yeah, I mean, like I said, we're competitive top to bottom. I think you kind of hit it on the head. I'm very confident in our team, and we can stay healthy. We're on the football field. Yeah, we play at a high level. And I mean, that was a very good team that we had. We were in Super. That was like a historic defense, you know, the way that they played all year in, week in, week out. And I think we had the best rushing attack in the NFL besides Baltimore, who runs the ball 10 times more a game than we do. And their quarterback is a very efficient runner. Lamar's not bad. So, yeah, I think, you know, when we're doing what we do and we're all out there, I think people have to more prepare for us than we have to prepare for them.
George, you're awesome. America's favorite wood-fired fuel for an all-out, no-holds-barred battle royale to officially introduce the Kingsford 100% hardwood pellets.
Love it.
Let's have a grill out in Iowa City one of these days. It'd be an amazing experience. Right? Let's go back. Come on.
I would love to tailgate in Iowa. I cannot wait. I love tailgating. It's so much fun.
Walk on into Kinnick, even on the other side, is a beautiful thing. Great to see you, George. Appreciate the time.
Yeah. See you guys. Appreciate it.